Present those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Hi, this is Kenneth John of Freedom Rings. Join me every Monday morning from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock for a spirited discussion of the issues of the day. Are you sick of the same tired positions the liberals and conservatives make? Check out A Fresh Perspective on Freedom Rings, Monday mornings from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 1410 WRMN. Give me liberty or give me death.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
You're about to hear some words you don't often hear on the radio. They're not pretty, but they are important.
Chronic diarrhea, severe abdominal pain, vomiting.
To most of us, these words sound like a bad bug, something temporary.
Urgent need for a bathroom, rectal bleeding.
But they could be a signal of something much more serious, like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis.
Fever, unexplained weight loss.
The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America urges you. If your symptoms are tying you to the bathroom and keeping you from living your life, see a gastroenterologist as soon as possible. Early diagnosis can make treatment easier. Don't live with your symptoms. Get on with your life. See a gastroenterologist. Get help. Get better. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. Dignity, hope, and one day, a cure. For a free information kit, call us at 1-877-CCFA-311 or go to ccfa.org.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. I'm going to have my good friend with us a little later, Senator Mike Noland. Oh, my mic's a little droopy today.
It is a little droopy.
Let's see here. Doesn't have that spring... spring to it.
Never mind.
I was trying to... never mind. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's let that one go.
Okay, I think as the stupid regulation of the week, I'm going to have to comment on this Don Imus situation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I know. Not that the TV hasn't been just over and over.
Beating it to death.
Beating it to death.
Sure.
But I'll do a little more beating. Well, first I have to say, of course, as everybody says, I'm appalled at the language that, you know, at what he said. I think it was really stupid. I mean, it wasn't funny. It was really stupid. Do people expect anything less from Imus? I think is number one. I mean, he's said a lot of hurtful things to a lot of people over his 33-year career. I'll say I did listen to him because morning shows on TV are horrible. They're all horrible, and at least he has some interesting guests on once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And some of the bits, not by him, but some of the other people that are on the show, were funny. So I did enjoy watching to his show, even though I didn't like him. And I must say, and the marketplace has every right to come out and do what they want. NBC had the right to fire him. CBS had the right to fire him. Advertisers had the right to say, you know, pull their ads. That's the free market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that that can't, shouldn't, you know, they don't have the right to do that. But I have to say that this country is just, I think, overrun with political correctness. I think it's just, it's getting really sad when any comedian now is just going to have to, you know, sitting on a timber of a fire or whatever. I mean, or an edge, an abyss.
Yeah.
Walking on eggshells, I guess, is another way to put it. I mean, where do you draw the line? Now, if it's just the market drawing the line, fine. But I do have a problem with the Reverends Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton mm-hmm. being the arbiters of anything racial in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is absurd, especially when Jesse wasn't held accountable for his comment about Hymietown, and Sharpton never really held accountable for his promotion of the Tawana Brawley case, which turned out to be a hoax, and he hurt people, falsely accused people. Of course, Jesse Jackson virtually falsely accused people in this Duke case that
uh-huh.
just finally got resolved.
Absolutely.
So there's just a huge, huge double standard. And where does it end? Some commentators are talking about, you know, silencing Rush Limbaugh. And again, Rush Limbaugh, not one of my favorites right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Barat. I mean, I just saw Barat over the weekend. I thought the whole movie was hilarious.
Okay.
And there's some humor.
It's out of control.
But if you take out of context, sounds horrible. Worse
sure.
than Imus.
Sure, absolutely.
And but it's out of context. But if you put it in context, it's really funny. And I remember as a kid growing up in Riverside, which was had become quite a few Czech Americans lived in there. The whole thing was you started in the Pilsen area, Chicago, and then your family moved to Cicero, to Berwyn, North Riverside, then you made it when you got into Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm Czech. And I grew up amongst cheap bohemian jokes all the time.
Sure.
You know, the old, most people won't get this, but the Czechs maybe. Well, you did a census count of the people in Berwyn and Cicero, as you roll a nickel down Cermak Road. And we all joked at that.
Okay.
Czechs joked about Czech, you know. The Irish joke amongst themselves about drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the problem. I think we take ourselves too seriously.
Oh, for sure.
When we have to say, no, we can't say this, we can't say that, we can't say that. Now, especially as far as this Nappy Ho situation,
mm-hmm.
that didn't come out of a vacuum. That came from somewhere. And where I'm sure Imus got it from was this old gangster rap thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, where has Jesse and Al Sharpton been about gangster, which is a lot more horrible? They're talking about raping the hoes and everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I suggest they would start there if they're really serious. If you want to clean things up. And again, I'm not saying that the government should step in and stop this stuff, but I think the music's trash.
Mm-hmm.
And if these corporations are serious about cleaning things up, yeah, let's stop funding the gangster rap stuff.
Well,
and maybe you'll see it start to filter in the rest of society.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I don't think Imus has said anything too horrible. I've heard worse on different radio stations.
Yeah.
He didn't break the FCC laws. He didn't do anything wrong as far as being on the air. And I think the people who should be behind this is the NCAA Women's Basketball League. They're the ones who should be the most offended.
Oh,
they're the ones
right.
who got... They're the victims here.
And those girls actually showed more class than anybody
right.
around.
Right, absolutely. And they didn't seem to be as offended
no.
as...
No. They wouldn't have even known about it.
Right.
If the likes of Jesse Jackson didn't bring... And Sharpton didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
I doubt they listened to Don Imus in the morning.
Well, another thing, if you don't like what he says, don't listen to him.
Well, that's the main point that should be made. It reminds me of George Carlin. When he talks about censorship in his comedy bits, he says,
uh-huh.
you know, they're, there are two knobs, or at least two knobs on the dial.
Right.
I refer to some Southern Baptist minister in Louisiana. I know you have a problem with anything that has two knobs. But one turns the radio off, and the other changes the station.
Absolutely it does. Come on. So. Another thing, Jesse Jackson's picking us up. We don't get IMITS here in Chicago. He's going to go and do a march at NBC Tower, downtown Chicago. He doesn't even air his show. We don't even air the IMITS show here in Chicago.
No, well, MSNBC.
MSNBC, is that the TV show then?
The simulcast, and that's how I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The simulcast in the morning, because I can't stand the idiots on Fox.
Well, yeah.
And the rest of it's pretty boring. And once in a while, I'll put C-SPAN on, because if I want boring, at least I'll have some good information that's
sure,
boring.
Sure, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I think they're just making a big deal about, you know, it's not nothing, but it's close to nothing.
It's I don't think it deserved firing. I think it would have been better to curb racism in this country if he got the 2-week suspension, mm-hmm. and they gave him a chance to actually change his ways.
Sure.
Now what you're going to have instead of is the reverse discrimination response by the idiot racists out there, which is happening. They're sending mm-hmm. death threats, you know, to the basketball, the Rutgers basketball team, which is so insane.
Uh-huh,
but I predicted this would happen as soon as they fired him. All the idiots are just going to overreact.
Sure they are.
It's going to make the racism worse.
Yep.
So instead of trying to work together and trying to get IMS to come along.
Wow.
So I don't get. I think it's really stupid on the part of those in charge, not to try to change things with IMITS instead of just shoving them away. I mean, he'll go back to one of the subscriber radio like Sirius or whatever,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and probably revert to his even worse to his old ways. Who knows?
Sure.
All right. Anyway, we do have. Excuse me. We have State Senator Mike Nolan here. We'll talk about Springfield politics, and we will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Is the Washington political elite using the immigration issue to help merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada into a European-style North American Union? Will the Bush administration's security and prosperity partnership enhance our liberty? Is NAFTA benefiting the residents of North America, and should the agreements in NAFTA be deepened and expanded? Should 12 million illegal immigrants currently in our country be given amnesty? Will U.S. independence become a distant memory, and will the Constitution basis for our freedoms and rights be lost? Learn the answers to these and other related questions from Sam Antonio, National Spokesman on Immigration for the John Birch Society at the Embassy Suites on Butterfield Road at Highland in Lombard on Friday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. Join other concerned citizens who seek to retain the constitutional protections that our founders passed on to us. Future generations depend on your action now. Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings and thank you for your support. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the show right now my good friend, Senator Mike Nolan. How you doing, Mike?
Top of the morning, Ken.
We're going to talk about some Springfield politics, but before, we do have some callers, and Mike's sent it to, you know, let's listen to the callers, and Mike is free to respond as well as I do to whoever calls. So first we have Grace. Hello, Grace.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Grace.
This is a little off the wall, but I think it could happen. Since both Imus, who has a dude ranch for children with cancer, and Santa are charitable guys, I was wondering if the Reverends Jesse and Al were going to go after Santa next. After all, he says, ho, ho, ho.
Oh,
oh no.
Boom. Bye.
Grace. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you.
Okay. And Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Jeff, you there?
He's rolling on the floor.
These guys are on speakerphone in the kitchen.
come back to the phone, Jeff.
You know, I'm going to buy a lunch or something because I'm working. Now.
Jeff,
you know,
this is not working. Your speakerphone's not working.
You know, my office is only a block and a half away.
Yeah, I know.
Call back, Jeff.
Is he talking to us?
Sound like he was just on his way back.
Well, he can call back.
Got a little distracted.
Okay, well, what's happening here? Your first round in Springfield politics. What's your overall impression first, I guess, would be my
Well, it's been point. Great. It's just been a fantastic experience down there. We've got a lot on our plate, and it's going to be a great challenge heading back. We've been on break for about the last 10 days or so, kind of resting up after probably what is the first third of our legislative session here down in the General Assembly. It's the 95th General Assembly. We've got, I think, what amounts to be a perfect storm brewing. We've got to talk about fundamental education funding reform. We've got to talk about health care funding reform. We've got to talk about pensions and meeting our obligations over the long term. We've got to talk about transportation and a capital bill and throw in the rate freeze on top of that, and we've got our plates full heading into the second half or second two-thirds of the session.
Well, let's talk about educational, so-called, quote, educational reform, unquote. I understand Governor Blagojevich, who pledged not to raise taxes, I understand, when he was elected, is proposing this huge tax increase that I understand supposedly some of it will come back to some communities through property tax relief, but evidently how do they term that? It's not a sales tax, it's a gross receipts tax.
Right.
And anyone bringing in over $2 million a year, any company would have to pay this tax, which of course it's just going to be passed on to the consumers. Blagojevich says, you know, basically it's not going to do these nasty corporations, as if people don't pay taxes. Well, I mean, well, I'm throwing my opinion about it. What's your position on this bill?
Well, as I have said before, and I actually had an opportunity to mention this to the governor when he was here about a week ago here in town, I think he's got his work cut out for him. I support the notion and his ambitious ideals. But when you figure out a way to tax corporations, which are legal entities, and not have people pay for it, please let me know. I'm not sure exactly how you go about doing that, but, you know, please let me know. We do, I think, in large part see this as a pass-through, but we have these overriding obligations at the state and here locally that cause us to have to implement some type of structural tax reform here for the state. And the governor is at least trying to do that. Now, what he promised to do before the election, his first election and his reelection, was not to raise the income tax, and he's kind of stood by that. He's kind of entrenched himself in that position, which is kind of difficult, which makes it difficult for the rest of us down there. Nobody likes to increase taxes. Nobody likes that. I don't like it. My constituents don't like it. We don't want to have to go there. But unfortunately, we have these disparities that exist in healthcare and education, for example, and we're not meeting our pension obligations. We have to do something about it. So what we're finding, oddly enough, is those of us who campaigned on education funding reform, moving away from our over-reliance on the property tax, so we get property tax relief to voters and to our constituents here in the districts. And when asked how we're going to pay for that, and I looked people straight in the eye and said, well, we're going to move to the income tax or the sales tax to a lesser extent, they would say, you know, I don't like that, you know, but at least I get the sense that you're telling us the truth. And, you know, thanks to you in part with our very spirited debate with Senator Rauschenberger when he was on here in the closing hours of the election, we went on to win the election with close to 55% of the vote. And this is a bellwether district. This is a swing district where people here are a very good reflection of folks on balance throughout the rest of the state. And folks here understand something needs to be done. What exactly that something is still a matter of debate.
Lowering spending is never on the table.
Oh, sure it is. And
Never, seriously. I don't see any proposals, honestly, any major proposals by any Democratic leaders or even Republican leaders, for that matter, or Blagojevich, saying what we have a problem here is not that we don't have enough money for everything, it's that we're spending too much to begin with, and we should be returning to the taxpayers. I never hear that.
Well, first of all, you know, unfortunately, taxes are just the necessary evil that we have in modern day society. Ken, to do the things that
please.
We have.
Oh no!
Oh yeah. And you know, I don't shy away from that. I don't shy away from that at all. I don't like to, you know, increase the burden on taxpayers any more than is absolutely necessary. I believe that there's an important role for government, but I do believe that there's a limited role for government. And you know, if you want to implement, for example, a 10% reduction in spending across the board, which I think that's the tone that you're taking here. If you were to do that, it would be if once coming to understand the real obligation that we have with the programs that we have and with the commitments that we have made and that we rightfully have made over time, that if you're really going to fund these, what we need to do is we need to make sure that individual departments and their divisions are cutting back where on programs or on practices that are not efficient and are not working properly.
Such as Blagojevich's buddies flying on state planes and on taxpayers' money for personal and political trips?
Now, that's you need to take that up with the governor. I can't answer for him.
It's your party.
Well, you know, that was no different under the other party either, you know.
Bingo. Okay. I agree. And Republicans, you know, Democrats, it doesn't matter. All you guys want to just spend.
You know,
you don't care. And when you say we can't do this, we can't do that, we got all these programs. And I just point out the examples that people, that the average guy has out there, they read about all this, that the politicians don't really care because they keep on profligately spending money and I would say fraudulently and illegally spending taxpayers' money. With almost with impunity. It doesn't stop. It's a joke. Most of us out here think it's a joke. When politicians come and say we have all these things we have to spend, but then they turn around and they waste and cheat all the time.
Present company accepted.
The present company accepted, of course. You're too young. Well, you're still just
gosh. You know, well, look.
The political process is corrupting. I may get corrupted after one or two terms in office, I think.
I don't think so. I think you're quite an honorable fellow, and I think that you would stick to the program of integrity and responsible governing. I really do. I think you should run sometime. Now, speaking of which, if we had a libertarian governor, or if we had a libertarian administration, okay, over a certain period of time, it would be no different. It's just humans doing the business of government is inherently burdensome. to society as a whole. And society, through these elections, our voters, have listened to the issues, listened to our positions, listened to my position. I got hammered over the head time and time again. You heard it on this program. Oh, he's going to raise taxes 66%. He's gonna do this. The flying pumpkins, the flaming, you know, this and that. All of these flyers that came in saying, you know, predicting doom and gloom once I might be elected. And, you know, none of it has thus far come to fruition. Granted, you know, it's still early in my term, I understand. But, you know, it's not going to be any different under this administration or another until we come to a realization that, look, this is our responsibility. This is the thing that we do to improve the quality of life. You go walk downstairs from this radio station, and you see those streets being paved. You can't do it without taxes. You go into
our schools. Streets that don't need it getting resurfaced all the time. That's what
well,
I see.
That's not
slowing
true. Route
traffic.
31 and Route 25, which are state roads, which everyone, not just the civic leaders here in this community, but people, average citizens just like yourself, who are begging me to bring state funding back to this district to help resolve. And that, unfortunately, requires a financial commitment by the people of the state. And the job is to make sure that money is being spent efficiently and effectively on their behalf. And I'm committed to doing that.
Well, and we all appreciate that. I think the average citizen out there looks at the roads and what happens and how they do crumble so fast, and they look
Democrats
at and they look at the
for,
and they
right?
and they look and they look at the political contributions of the road contractors to both sides, Democrats and Republicans, and they seriously question whether or not it's just a good old boy network of throwing the worst kind of salt on the roads that you can so that they deteriorate, so that the political contributors of the road construction companies can come in and resurface the roads again. And it seems to be just a perpetuating process of spending money for the benefit of the politicians who get the political contributions and the road contractors. Illinois has it's abysmal. The record of roads is abysmal in Illinois compared to the rest of the country.
Well, and that's a good point. You raise a very important point. One of the things that I'm committed to, and I hope that you know, folks on the libertarian side of these issues and Republican side of these issues as well as Democrats, is a commitment that I share, and I think is an increasing point of view held by a larger number of legislators, is to line item. You got the motor fuel tax that's been committed to help us build roads here in the state of Illinois. Unfortunately, it's been, and Governor Blagojevich is not the inventor of this practice, but those funds have been swept out of the motor fuel tax fund, you know,
and
applied to other areas. And we have to stop that. We have to at least limit it significantly.
Well, most libertarians would not be adverse to a true user fee that was spent to use the roads, such as what we call a gas tax. Yeah, if it was 100% earmarked for funds to maintain the roads. But as you say, that doesn't happen just as the lottery, you know, supposedly funds education. I mean,
well,
and the checks in the mail.
Well, we have to be careful with our perceptions on what has been dedicated for this fund or that fund. That I can't tell you how much time I spent clarifying the true position of the legislature when they passed that.
Well, they are dedicating the money to the lottery, but they played a little game of shell game, didn't they?
But it's only a certain amount above new revenues. Okay, we've been in deficit spending for how many years now, and so there hasn't been any new funds dedicated to education because there hasn't been any surplus. So that's been the problem with the money. That's
well, may I suggest? You know, you say there are certain responsibilities that governments have to the people, and people ask for this, and then the politicians respond, and I understand that. But and what I would say is things aren't going to change for the better, Mike, until people understand and realize that government doesn't work. The government plainly doesn't work. Right. Look at the computer industry. Look at the first computer you may have bought in the late 70s. You know, it probably cost about $2,000 or more, and it was probably about one millionth the speed of or in the size of is capacity of what they are today. As the computer industry progressed, the prices went dramatically down, and the quality went dramatically up. Now, you look at the two public policy areas that government is most heavily involved, and that is education and health care. And you see the exact opposite happening. You see what most people perceive as the educational quality going down, and the price to pay for education skyrocketing, especially you look at the rest of the world. We spend, it's not the problem that we don't spend enough on education. Maybe we spend too much. There's no correlation between education spending and student achievement. Maybe, just maybe, we need to get government out of these things, Mike, and let the market take care of them.
Let me ask you something as kind of as an aside here, all right? JFK. Who shot JFK?
You want another 2-hour program?
No, I certainly
don't believe that Lee Harvey acted alone and had this magic bullet that went through JFK's skull and then came back around and through Governor Colony's back and such.
But that's just it. If you look at the evidence, Kent, that isn't what the evidence shows. It shows that that bullet actually traveled a straight path, and the timing of which allows Oswald, who was a marksman in the Marines, and that distance that he was away from JFK at the time was not so far that he could not have effectively done what he is alleged.
Well, a lot of people disagree with that.
Well, you know what? We'll have a separate show on that. But that's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. There, you can have conspiracy theories about JFK or government in general.
Oh, that's a conspiracy theory I'm suggesting? I think I brought about some facts.
You're saying that government has conspired to elevate prices in the areas of education.
No, I'm saying they're inefficient. I'm saying it's just a very inefficient situation. I'm not saying they're conspiring about anything.
Right. It may only be tacit.
You just look at welfare. If you look at government welfare, 80% of it is soaked up by bureaucracies, where if you look at private charities, it's more like 20%.
Well, take a look at Medicaid, for example. Overall cost. 3-4% overhead administrative costs for the Medicare program. Okay, 3-4%. That's not bad in any industry. That would be considered.
I think it depends on how it's got to depend on how you evaluate those statistics. Because if you talk to hospitals and you talk to doctors, they're spending an inordinate amount of time just filling out forms for Medicaid and Medicare.
You're absolutely right. The inordinate amount of time that they are spending on paperwork is abysmal. It should not be.
And that's reflected in the cost of health care. And that's not in that 3% you're talking about. Okay.
And it's important for us to find those points of agreement that we have so that we can sort the seed from the chaff and get to the heart of the problem. And we do have a problem with administrative costs here, not only in the state of Illinois, but throughout the country. 40%. 40%, that's what you're paying for administrative costs in the private sector.
Because of the rules and regulations.
No, it's not just government rules and regulations. It's oftentimes insurance companies and the way, and it's not just one particular interest group that's at fault here. It's not just the insurance companies. It's not just the doctors. It's not just the attorneys, okay? This finger pointing that's going on, where each one of them seems to be pointing to each other in this circle here, has got to stop. We got to stop pointing fingers, and we got to start looking at how we, as each individual interest group, including consumers, can reduce costs for health care.
And how do we do that by having experts look at things and changing it through government? I mean, that's really, honestly, it may sound a little facetious, but that was tried in the Soviet Union for 70 years, and it failed. Command control doesn't work. Markets work. Markets respond to needs and desires in the marketplace.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more in that regard. Just look at IMUS. Rather than having the FCC come down on him, the market took care of that. I agree with you there. And that's a point of agreement that we have in that regard.
Then you should agree that we should get rid of all these rules and regulations that the government has just put on the healthcare industry and the education industry, and allow the marketplace to decide all these choices.
Get rid of some, keep some, try some new.
All right, we're talking with State Senator Mike Nolan. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any questions, comments, observations for the senator, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
Is the Washington political elite using the immigration issue to help merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada into a European-style North American Union? Will the Bush administration's security and prosperity partnership enhance our liberty? Is NAFTA benefiting the residents of North America, and should the agreements in NAFTA be deepened and expanded? Should 12 million illegal immigrants currently in our country be given amnesty? Will U.S. independence become a distant memory, and will the constitutional basis for our freedoms and rights be lost? Learn the answers to these and other related questions from Sam Antonio, National Spokesman on Immigration for the John Birch Society, at the Embassy Suites on Butterfield Road at Highland in Lombard on Friday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. That's this Friday. Join other concerned citizens who seek to retain the constitutional protections that our founders passed on to us. Future generations depend on your action now.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give, that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with State Senator Mike Nolan. And let's go to the phones, Mike.
All right.
We have Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. Mike, congratulations on winning your Senate seat. Just,
thank you very much.
I just heard you say, at least I thought I did, that you couldn't agree with Ken Moore that free markets work. And so I have to ask, that being the case, do you support school choice?
In principle, I do. The practical problem is that we do end up diverting public dollars away from public education into private education, which I think people should have access to. I really do. I support homeschooling, for example, in charter schools. So I do, to a very significant extent, believe that there's certainly room for that in any educational program or policy that the state adopts.
As far as supporting homeschooling, what are you doing to help people that want to homeschool?
Well, as a private attorney, I had on more than one occasion had defended folks' right to homeschool.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm talking more about your position as a senator.
Sure. No, I can appreciate that. Happy to look at any legislation that comes in that's going to support homeschooling and just allowing some type of certification process for homeschools, people who choose to homeschool, so that we're able to monitor and make sure that those kids are receiving as quality education. And I understand that they receive oftentimes a better education sometimes than in our public schools, depending on the curriculum, depending on the emphasis that the parents wish to pursue. So I'm supportive of homeschooling.
Okay.
If there's anything specific that you have in mind there, I'm happy to answer.
Well, I just remember during the campaign you took a significant amount of campaign contributions from the teacher union, who are obviously completely against school choice, and I was just trying to see if that was having any influence on what you support as a member of the General Assembly.
You know, you can always reach me. I'll tell your listening audience here, but a simple thing is to Google me. You know, go online and just go to noland.org, N-O-L-E-N-D. .org, and you can reach me by way of email or phone or otherwise. I think you'd actually find that the teachers are not so much truly opposed to a certain amount of school choice. It's just that it's when you have this conflict where you're diverting an inordinate, there's our number again, or our word again, an inordinate amount of public funding away from public schools, that it becomes a problem.
Well, remember, when you say public funding, you're talking about tax dollars. I think there are some of us who believe that tax dollars aren't the government's, but tax dollars are our dollars.
So you're
not diverting government money. You're diverting, my money.
Well said. Well said. And I'm open to discussion on the matter. I really am. So if you have some ideas, some initiatives, by all means, bring them to me, and we'll discuss them.
Well, if nothing else, you can look at the Heartland. They've had a voucher proposal out for about 5 years now that is in pretty good shape. So anyway.
Well, we have, just on that note real quick, we have Utah that just recently passed a voucher system. And it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Okay. So, well, thanks.
We got our eye on it.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Okay, we have Bob. Hello.
Good morning. I have 3 points, and I'll make them quick. I know the time is short. When Exxon came out with their yearly profits, Hillary Clinton said, "Oh boy, I want to take that money and put it towards alternate energy sources and so on." And it seems like Blagojevich is doing the same thing with his tax on the businesses in the state of Illinois. No answer necessary. The second one is, how many bills have been submitted and passed already in this session at the state legislature?
Well, okay, that's two interesting points, one on energy and one on legislation here. To answer the latter one, there have been literally thousands of bills that have been entered for one reason or another. And we're going through the process of passing them both through the Senate and through the House. So many of them are still in committee. Only a certain percentage of those will actually be finally signed by the governor and become actual law.
Okay.
No way to tell you exactly how many of those
right.
bills will actually become law. So.
Okay, the third one, and I hate to even bring it up because it might cause it to be enacted. I understand the state of Florida is passing or has passed a bill to give the convicted felons the right to vote. And I was wondering if there's any consideration of that for the state of Illinois.
Well, let's begin by asking you how you feel about that.
If they, a convicted felon has not shown any regard for the laws of the state, so, or the federal government, so why should they give them a chance to participate?
You don't agree with the notion that once they've paid their debt to society, let's say that they served, let's say, 3 or 4 years as a convicted felon, that they should not be...
You're fading out. I don't understand.
No. Then let me see if I can't make this a little bit more clear. I guess my question to you, Bob, is if somebody has been convicted as a felon, let's say they served a 3 or 4 year sentence, which is, as felonies go, that's not a life sentence. That's a relatively minor felony conviction. Are you saying that they should not be reinstated with their previous rights?
I would say so, yes.
Well, fair
enough. And especially when we have one for this Kane County that is in charge of the elections. That seems very interesting.
I think we have here a failure to communicate. Bob, let me just throw this out to you. After one's paid the price for his felony count and spent time in prison, which way do you think it's better to assimilate him back in society, and in which manner is it more likely he's not going to commit a crime again? If you shut him out of the system or if you invite him back in?
Well, if they can resurrect the people that have been murdered, that wouldn't be too bad. It wouldn't be too bad. And also, 60 Minutes had a program on about Bart College, where they educate the prisoners. And that was a very good program, and that helped them. They were real energetic, and they do get an education, which I agree with. It's not bad at all. But you have to draw the line someplace.
Okay, thanks, Bob. We got to move on. Thanks for your call. We have John next. Hello, John.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Senator.
Hello, John.
I've got two quick questions. Senator, do you agree with the proposed legislation to allow school districts to levy an income tax?
I haven't seen the legislation, but just based on what the way that you phrased that, I don't think that would be a good idea. No.
Good.
Yeah, that's. I think. Was it Emil Jones introduced that? I believe.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to take that up with the president. Take a look at that.
It's a pretty scary proposition.
Coming at me for the first time, I'd not be inclined to.
Okay. Anything else, John?
Yes, as an employee of the state of Illinois, do you have to take the ethics test that most of the other employees have to take?
I don't think so, but I'm willing to.
There's legislation pending that denies the Freedom of Information Act to allow outside agencies or individuals to find out who has taken that test. And I find it real interesting that people that have nothing to do with money have to take that test, and you've never taken it.
Well, we have had significant ethics counseling and training coming on board with the legislature. The Senate staff and others have had seminars, and we have been given information brochures and whatnot that I've reviewed and looked over and made sure that I'm compliant with. So they do take... measures to ensure that members are conducting their business in an ethical manner, and I firmly believe that everything that we're doing in my office is, of course, above board. We believe in greater transparency. If you have any questions, any specific questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay.
Nothing to hide.
John, thanks for your call. We got to move on. We'll be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we're back right at the end of the program. Senator Mike Nolan, thanks very much for being on the show. If somebody wants to get a hold of you quickly, how can they do that?
LAND.org or area code 847-214-8864. Quick little plug. I think you ought to go talk to the people that just booted IMUS and tell them that you're ready for action.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
You bet.
Appreciate that. Remember, as you vote tomorrow, that H.L. Mencken said that democracy is an election is really no more than an advance auction in stolen goods.
Hey, knock it off.